You're listening to agentdrivendevelopment.com.
Agent maintainable code is code that an artificial intelligence agent can reliably modify and extend without introducing subtle defects. It requires conventional structure, explicit boundaries, comprehensive tests, and documented business rules. Mike called me last Thursday. Mike is one of the best data engineers I know. He has been building streaming pipelines for a decade. He is the kind of engineer who speaks in back pressure metrics and watermark semantics, the way most people talk about the weather. Mike was working with Apache Flink. If you're not in the data engineering world, Flink is one of the premier frameworks for real-time data streaming. Serious companies run serious workloads on it. It has been in production at scale for years. It is not some hobby project. And Mike could not get an artificial intelligence agent to maintain his Flink code. This was not because the agent was dumb. It was not because Flink is bad. It was because every time the agent tried to reason about the pipeline, whether to modify a transformation, add a windowing function, or debug a state management issue, it produced code that was subtly wrong. It was not compiler error wrong. It was semantically wrong. It was the kind of wrong that passes tests and breaks in production at 2 a.m. when the event stream spikes. Mike had tried everything: better prompts, more context, different models, retrieval augmented generation over the Flink documentation. He spent 3 weeks on this. 3 weeks of a senior data engineer's time. At $95 an hour, that is roughly $11,400 in labor to fight a problem that was not a tooling problem, a model problem, or a framework problem. And then he called me. He told me that he did not think the agent was the problem. He thought the code was the problem. This realization is the question nobody is asking. And it is what Mike and I realized over the next 2 hours. We have spent 50 years defining what good code means for human maintainers. Robert Martin wrote Clean Code. The Gang of Four gave us Design Patterns. Martin Fowler cataloged refactoring. Fred Brooks explained in 1975 why adding people to a late project makes it later. These were different decades and different problems, but they all address the same underlying question. How do you write code that other humans can understand, modify, and extend without breaking things? Those books shaped an entire profession. Single responsibility, open-closed, Liskov substitution, interface segregation, and dependency. Inversion, don't repeat yourself. Dependency injection, code reviews, all of it was built around one assumption. The next person to touch this code will be a human being. That assumption is no longer safe. The next person to touch your code might be an agent. Increasingly, it will be. And the question nobody is asking is this: is your code agent maintainable? This is not about being clean by Uncle Bob's standards. It is not about being well patterned by the Gang of Four's catalog. It is about being agent maintainable. Can an artificial intelligence agent right now with today's models reliably modify and extend your code base without introducing subtle defects? For most code bases, the answer is no. You must understand that this is not about Flink. Mike's problem was not Flink. Flink is excellent software. The Flink team built something that handles real-time data processing at scale, and they did it well. But Flink was designed for human engineers. Its application programming interface surface, its abstractions, its configuration model, and its state management semantics were all designed to be understood by experienced humans who have internalized the mental models of stream processing. Concepts like watermarks, event time versus processing time, and keyed state versus operator state take a human engineer months to develop deep intuition about. An agent does not build intuition. It has the training data it was trained on and the context you give it. If the patterns in your code do not align with the patterns the agent has seen millions of times, patterns it has statistical confidence about, you get subtle errors. This happens not because the agent is stupid, but because it is operating outside its zone of reliable inference. This is not a Flink problem, it is a code-based problem, and it is about to become yours. Take your engineering headcount. Multiply by your agent adoption rate, which is the percentage of engineers actively using artificial intelligence agents for code changes. Multiply by the percentage of their agent-assisted time spent on rework, such as rewriting agent output, handholding agents through unfamiliar patterns, or debugging subtle semantic errors that pass continuous integration. Finally, multiply by their loaded hourly cost for a 300-person engineering organization at 60% agent adoption, a 15% rework rate, and a $90 per hour loaded cost that comes to roughly $5 million a year in agent hostile code tax. Your numbers will be different, but the formula will not. Industry data shows artificial intelligence generated code produces 1.7 times more defects than human written code. But that is an average across all code bases, including both agent-friendly and agent-hostile environments. In agent-hostile code, the multiplier is worse. In agent-maintainable code, it approaches 1-to-1. If you're spending $1.5 million on Copilot Enterprise licenses and your code is not agent maintainable, you're buying a tool that will underperform its benchmarks in your environment. Agent maintainable code is not a separate initiative from your artificial intelligence tooling investment. It is a prerequisite for getting a return on investment. This is not only a modern software problem. There are 220 billion lines of COBOL in active production right now. They process 95% of United States ATM transactions. They run grid management systems, insurance claims, and government benefits. The average COBOL developer is 55 years old. 10% of that workforce retires every year. The engineers who built those systems are not going to be around forever, and the engineers coming up behind them need agents that can help them maintain code they did not write. Those code bases are the most agent-hostile code on the planet. For critical infrastructure, the agent maintainability question is existential. The biases are the feature because every artificial intelligence model has biases. These are not political biases, but statistical ones. There are patterns the model has seen so many times during training that it can reproduce them with extraordinary fidelity. These are patterns where its confidence is highest and its error rate is lowest. You know these patterns intuitively if you have spent any time with agents. Standard representational state transfer application programming interface structures, React components with hooks, Express middleware chains, Django views, Spring Boot services, PostgreSQL queries. These are not exotic technologies. They are the 10,000 most common patterns on GitHub, and agents are phenomenal at working with them. Ask an agent to add a new endpoint to a well-structured Express application programming interface, and it will do it correctly on the first try. A React component refactor following standard patterns is usually nailed, but a Flink pipeline with custom state management and checkpointing semantics will likely fail. The agent will produce something that looks right but is not the difference. It's not intelligence. The difference is statistical exposure. The agent has seen 10 million Express application programming interfaces and 40,000 Flink pipelines. Its confidence distribution is wildly different across those two surfaces. You can use the model's biases to your advantage. Instead of fighting the agent's statistical intuitions and spending 3 weeks crafting prompts to overcome them, structure your code base. So the patterns the agent is most confident about are the patterns it encounters in your code. That is not dumbing down your architecture. That is designing for a new kind of contributor. The Clean Code books had the right idea for the wrong audience. Robert Martin did not invent good code. People wrote good code before Clean Code showed up in 2008. What Martin did was name the patterns. He gave the profession a shared vocabulary, including single responsibility, open-closed, and dependency inversion, and a way to evaluate code against the standard. The Gang of Four did something similar with design patterns in 1994. Martin Fowler cataloged the refactoring moves a few years later. He gave us a shared playbook with moves like extract method, inline variable, and replace conditional with polymorphism. Every one of those books was answering the same question: how do we make code that humans can maintain? We need the same thing for agents. Someone needs to do for agent maintainable code what Uncle Bob did for clean code. We need to name the patterns, codify the principles, and give teams a standard they can evaluate against. That standard is not going to look like the old one. We are early, so here's what agent maintainable code might look like. Nobody has a complete framework for this yet, but I have been building software with agents every day for over a year, and there are patterns that are becoming clear. First, choose conventional over clever. That custom Monad transformer stack your functional programming enthusiast built might be elegant or even correct, but the agent will butcher it every time. The boring standard implementation that looks like every tutorial on the internet is something the agent will maintain flawlessly. Clever and maintainable always had tension in an agent-maintained world. That tension resolves decisively. Second, choose explicit over implicit agents cannot infer the design decisions you made at the whiteboard 3 years ago. They cannot divine that a particular function has a side effect that is load-bearing for billing. Everything that matters needs to be in the code, not in a Confluence document or in tribal knowledge. Use types, names, contracts, and assertions. If the agent needs to know it to work safely, write it down where the agent will see it. Third, use small self-contained units. This is the single responsibility principle applied to a contributor that has a context window instead of long-term memory. The more a change requires understanding state outside the file the agent is editing, the higher the error rate. Use small files, clear boundaries, and minimal coupling. We have always said this, but now the defect rate proves it. Fourth, use standard toolchains. Webcack, Vite, Maven, Gradle, and Cargo have massive representation in training data. The agent knows them cold. Your custom makefile with 40 targets and 12 environment variables is something the agent is only guessing about. When agents guess about build configuration, things break in ways that are hard to trace. Fifth, treat tests as contracts. In a human-maintained code base, tests verify behavior. When agents are contributing code, tests become the contract and the mechanism by which your engineers verify the agent's work before it ships. The testing square is not optional, it is the foundation. As we adopt these patterns, we must consider what we leave behind. Some of the engineering investments your teams have made, investments that were correct when humans were the only maintainers, are now liabilities. This is not because they were wrong, but because your teams now include agents, and agents maintain code differently than humans do. For example, behavior-driven development using Gherkin syntax and cucumber scenarios was designed to create a shared language between business stakeholders and developers. Agents do not need that translation layer. They need assertions they can evaluate programmatically. If your teams are heavily invested in behavior-driven development, evaluate whether that investment is now a tax. Deep abstraction layers are a different kind of problem. Interfaces for interfaces, factories for factories, and dependency injection containers that take a week to onboard a new hire were designed for human brains that can only hold 7 things in working memory. Agents do not have that constraint. They have context windows. Every layer they traverse is another opportunity to lose the thread between intent and implementation. Then there is metaprogramming, runtime code generation, heavy reflection, and convention over configuration frameworks that wire behavior through naming patterns. These are brilliant for reducing human keystrokes, but they are nightmares for agents that need to trace a request from entry point to database and back. In regulated industries, the errors these produce are not bugs. They are audit findings. If you are maintaining COBOL, RPG, or SAPABAP, which is code that predates the internet, you face an even sharper version of this problem. Those languages have the smallest footprint in any model's training data. Agents working in those code bases are operating with the least statistical confidence and the highest error rates. The same principles apply, but the gap between where those code bases are and where they need to be is measured in decades, not sprints. I'm not saying you should burn it down. I'm saying your architecture review process needs a new question. Can the agent work here safely? If the answer is no, that module is a candidate for refactoring. This is not because the code is bad, but because your team now includes a new kind of contributor that reads code differently than the humans who wrote it. This brings us to the refactoring conversation you need to have. If you're a chief technology officer or vice president of engineering, you need to have a new conversation with your team this quarter. This is not about artificial intelligence adoption or which coding assistant to buy. It is about whether your code base is ready to be maintained by agents. In 2 years or maybe less, the majority of code changes in production systems will be authored or co-authored by agents. That is not a prediction, that is the trajectory. If your code base is hostile to agents, you will fall behind teams whose code bases are not. Being hostile to agents does not mean having bad code. It means having code that was written for human-only teams, and your teams are not human-only anymore. This is a refactoring effort, not a rewrite. You do not need to throw away your code base. You need to make it legible to a new kind of reader. It is the same way you would refactor a code base before onboarding a new team, except the new team has read every public repository on GitHub and has very strong opinions about how middleware should be structured. Start with your highest churn files, which are the ones that get modified most frequently. Those are the files agents will touch first and touch most often. Make them conventional, make them explicit, make them boring. Boring is the new beautiful when your contributor is an artificial intelligence. Test coverage matters differently now. The new argument is that if an agent modifies a file and there are no tests, nobody can verify the change without reading every line. Your engineers have judgment and institutional knowledge, but the agent contributing alongside them has neither. Tests bridge that gap. Your abstractions need scrutiny too. Are they earning their keep, or are they serving human ergonomics that the agent does not need? Every unnecessary abstraction is a tax on agent comprehension. To get started, use this 5-question assessment. Ask these questions about any repository, and the answers will tell you where your agent maintainability problems live. Question 1. What percentage of your top 20 highest churn files use patterns that appear in fewer than 10,000 public repositories? This is the statistical exposure question. If your most modified files use niche patterns, the agent is guessing every time it touches them. That is your highest risk surface. Question 2. How many changes require understanding state that lives in a different file, service, or system? Cross-boundary changes are where agents fail hardest. If a single modification requires the agent to reason about 3 services, a message queue, and a database trigger, the error rate goes through the roof. Question 3. Can an agent run your build, execute your tests, and verify its own changes without human intervention? If the answer is no, such as if your build requires manual steps, environment-specific secrets, or tribal knowledge about which test suite to run, then you do not have an agent-maintainable code base. You have a human-dependent one. Question 4. What is your agent iteration rate? When an agent makes a change, how many attempts does it take to produce something correct? If the answer is consistently more than 2, the code is the problem, not the agent. Track this number. It is the leading indicator of agent maintainability. Question 5. Does your compliance and audit framework account for agent-authored code? If an agent modifies your payment processing logic and introduces a subtle semantic error, can your audit trail identify that the change was agent-authored? Can your review process catch semantic errors that pass continuous integration? If you're in financial services, this could be a Sarbanes-Oxley Act finding. If you're in utilities, a North American Electric Reliability Corporation, critical infrastructure protection violation carries fines up to $1 million per day. If you're in healthcare, it is a Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act exposure. Regulatory frameworks were built around human-authored code with human-reviewed changes. Agent-authored code and agent-hostile code bases is a compliance gap that most audit teams have not even thought about yet. These 5 questions will not give you a score, but they will give you a map. The modules where the answers are worst are the modules you should refactor first. We are early, but the direction is clear. There's no clean agent-maintainable codebook on your shelf yet. The principles I have shared are a starting point, not a complete framework. Someone will write the book. It might be me or it might be you, but the name is right. Agent-maintainable code, that is the standard. Your code base will be evaluated against in 2027. It will not just be about being clean or well-architected. It will be about being agent-maintainable. Waiting to figure it out costs you velocity every sprint. Consider what Mike did next. After our call, Mike did something I did not expect. He did not switch models or write better prompts or try a different agent framework. He refactored his Flink pipeline. He replaced the custom state management with patterns that followed the most common Flink examples in the documentation. He made the windowing logic explicit where it had been implicit. He broke one large pipeline into smaller self-contained stages. He added property-based tests at every stage boundary. Then he pointed the same agent at the same code base. It worked. It was not perfect, as we are not there yet. But before the refactor, the agent produced semantically correct code about 1 in 4 attempts. After it was closer to 3 in 4, the agent iteration rate dropped from an average of 6 to under 2. Run those numbers at 6 iterations per change. Mike was spending roughly 30 minutes per modification getting the agent to produce correct code. At under 2 iterations, that dropped to about 8 minutes. Across the 20 to 30 changes per week Mike makes to that pipeline. That is a shift from 15 hours of agent wrangling per week to 4 11 hours were reclaimed. At $95 an hour, that is over $1,000 a week, or $54,000 a year on one pipeline for one engineer. The refactoring took him 4 days. It paid for itself in the first week. This was the same agent, the same model, and the same Flink framework. It was just different code structure. The agent was never the problem. The code was, Robert Martin published Clean Code in 2008. Before that book, people wrote Clean Code. After that book, people had a standard. They had a name for what they were doing, a way to teach it and evaluate it and hold each other accountable to it. We are in the before moment right now. People are writing agent maintainable code, but they just do not have a name for it yet. Now they do. Your team has a new member. You did not hire it. You did not onboard it, but it is writing code in your repositories right now, and it has opinions about how your code should be structured. The question is whether you will listen.
You've been listening to agentdrivendevelopment.com.